welcome to Parents Perspective. Hal, could you come in here for a minute? His mom called. I'm in here doing the laundry. She stood among the piles of dirty clothes with a pack of cigarettes in her hand. This fell out of your pants pocket. And she held the pack out to Hal. Is this yours? 15-year-old Hal looked down at his feet. Well, Raul gave it to me on the way home yesterday. His folks don't make a big deal out of it if he smokes. From a parent's perspective, how can we best prevent our kids from becoming smokers? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are pleased to have as our guests two experts in anti-smoking awareness for kids. Both are active in a number of health advocacy groups and have brought their message to the public schools. Together, they founded Doctors Against Tobacco, the first program in the area aimed at educating middle school children about the dangers of tobacco use. Dr. Mitra Ahadpour is an internist in Montgomery County, Maryland, and the mother of two children, ages 4 and 2.5. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Dr. Ahadpour.
Hi, thank you for having me today. I'm very happy to be here.
Dr. Sheeran Doran is a dentist, also in Montgomery County, Maryland. She has three children, ages 11, 8, and 7. We're glad to have you with us, Dr. Doran.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Doran, with all the anti-smoking ads and smoking education we hear about, is there really a problem today with kids and cigarettes?
Absolutely, yes. There are more than 90% of people that has been found through a survey that that's when they start smoking, they start before the age of 19. And each day, some 3,000 teenagers pick up smoking. And we're having a major problem with this. And, you know, the numbers are very overwhelming. And another thing that we found to be very overwhelming is the smokeless tobacco that we see a lot of kids picking up. The numbers has actually increased. And the chewing tobacco and dip has caused us a lot of concern because oral cancer is very hard to detect. And we're very concerned that these kids who are picking up this habit won't go to their health professional to be checked for oral cancer. So we're very concerned about this.
I heard a long time ago that the smokeless tobacco has little tiny bits of glass in it. Is that right, to make little holes in your cheeks so that the nicotine or whatever it is goes in?
Well, they've done certain research that they've said that they found some glass fibers in it. But we can't really say that there is, you know, they put it on purpose to make holes in your cheek. But because of the amount of products that are found in chewing tobacco and dip, it's so addictive, is the same amount as smoking 2 or 3 cigarettes. So we're really urging parents to not only check for cigarettes, but also for chewing tobacco and dip. Because a lot of the kids, they see baseball players, they see a lot of other sports figures chew these tobaccos, and they think it's a great thing. They'll feel macho, they feel, you know, an adult. And we're here to really urge parents, please advise your kids not to use these products.
What is dip?
The term was promoted by the tobacco companies because they figured if the adults or the public sees it's smokeless, it's safer, but it's not. Dip is placed between the lip and the gums in the front, and they keep it there for many hours so the kids get that nicotine level in their bodies. Chewing tobacco is placed between the back, you know, the cheek and the gums and the teeth, and you chew that constantly. And when the flavor goes away, the tobacco companies actually flavor these products. They spit it out and they put new chewing tobacco in their mouth. So there's a difference between the two, but both are very harmful and very deadly.
I didn't know anything about these things. So
and one of the worst things about these chewing tobaccos is that people who have been found with oral cancer, because it spreads so quickly, within 5 years, 50% of those patients die. So it's a very deadly, deadly product.
Another tobacco product that has come on the market is called BDs. It's becoming very popular among the young kids because it's cheaper than cigarettes, and kids think it's safer. These are small brown cigarettes tied at one end with a string. It comes from India. The tobacco companies flavor it with strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. So kids think because it tastes sweet that it is fine, that it's a safe thing to use. But it has more carbon monoxide than a regular cigarette. So it is at least as harmful as smoking a regular cigarette. And it's becoming very popular among kids.
That's called BDs?
BDs, B-I-D-I-S, BDs. Yes.
Is that something that they could get at a drugstore, or it's an underground kind of thing?
It's actually becoming very popular. It's still underground, but it's very easily accessible to youths to get. It's very important that parents watch out for that, too.
When, with all this stuff around and available, should we talk to our kids about smoking and the dangers of smoking?
It's never too early to talk to our children about tobacco and smoking. Tobacco is the leading cause of preventable death in the United States. The CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, recommends education to prevent tobacco use to be provided from the age of kindergarten. Now, 90% of new smokers start as teenagers. The average teenager smoker begins at the age of 14. So tobacco use often begins in grade 6 through 8. And that's one of the reasons we decided to do our program for sixth graders. But it's never too early. I have two small children, both of them are in preschool. One of them, as you mentioned, is 2.5, and the other one is 4 years old. The 2.5 already understands when we walk different places, we go to the park, he says maybe the policeman smoking, which is sad because the policemen are the role models, especially for boys, little boys. He says, Mom, cigarettes, bad. So even at 2.5, he understands the concept that cigarettes are bad for you. So you should start from at an early age to speak to them.
It's amazing that they understand the concepts that, you know, I've exposed my kids to no drugs, no cigarettes, no alcohol. You know, usually in the malls now, they make you go outside and smoke. They don't allow it. So before we get in the mall, there's always a crowd of young kids smoking. My oldest, who's 11 now, he holds his nose and he puts on his jackets around his mouth. He goes, I don't want to breathe that stuff in my mouth. You know, I don't want to breathe it in because it's going to affect my lungs. And, you know, that's, you know, gets us to secondhand smoke, which is also very harmful.
Why did you decide to focus your program, Doctors Against Tobacco, on middle school age kids?
Well, the reason was that, you know, as Mitra mentioned, that the average age is between 12 to 14 now. They start very early about picking up this habit of smoking to either fit in, you know, with the other kids, or because of all these tobacco ads, you know, they see it nowadays. You know, the newest ads I've seen with Philip Morris, you know, don't smoke and all that stuff. CDC actually did a survey that they found is doing the opposite. They say, hey, I'm going to be acting more against, be more rebellious and pick up the smoking. But the reason why we started this program is because the kids do pick up the habit around this age, around the, you know, middle school, sixth grade, seventh grade. And we want to catch them and show them not only the health effects, but also that, you know, there are alternatives to trying to act cool. You can do other things to act cool. You don't have to pick up smoking to act cool.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion about kids and tobacco.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. Today we're talking with Dr. Sharon Doran and Dr. Mitra Ahadpour about kids and smoking. Dr. Doran, if kids just try out smoking as teenagers, is there any need to be concerned about that? Sometimes, you know, kids will try something to be cool. They'll
try
one or two cigarettes or something.
Yes, there is. There was a recent study at University of Massachusetts in 98. And they followed some 12 to 13-year-olds in their study. And the study showed that after a year, 95% of these youths who picked up smoking during the study, they became addicted to smoking within 2 or 3 days very quickly within a few days. So they had all the symptoms of addiction before we had thought it would take months or, you know, maybe a year for them to get this, but they actually picked up this habit within 2 or 3 days. They're
Why
addicted.
Is it
but,
so quick? Why
do because of the products in a cigarette.
But in other words, an adult wouldn't be addicted in 2 or 3 days. How come a kid could be addicted?
Actually, adults can become addicted in 2 or 3 days. Some people have more resistance to it. It might take them months, but some kids, you know, some adults do become addicted very quickly. But it's a more denial. You know, the adults say, hey, I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want. They might quit many times, but they can never really stay off of the cigarette. That's the key difference here. Many people quit. It's like you've heard the term, I've quit many times, but I've always gone back. A lot of these people, they want to quit. 82% of people actually have been found to, they want to quit, but they can't because they're so addicted to the substances in a cigarette. And with kids, now that they've become addicted within 2 or 3 days, we really urge parents, don't let them experiment thinking that this is a phase they're going through, because it is not. If they become addicted, it's going to be so much harder for these kids to get off this habit. It really is.
Remember, we had a guest once who said, if you saw your child trying out rat poison, would you let him do that?
Exactly, exactly. It's a very frightening thing nowadays to see kids smoking. I mean, my office is right across a high school, and during lunchtime, I see all these kids coming out and smoking. And I called the principal, and I said, why don't you do something? He goes, as long as it's off campus, I have no jurisdiction over these kids. And I was so tempted to go up and say, you know, we have some lung specimens that we show kids. And I wanted to say, this is what's going to happen to your lungs. Don't smoke. And, you know, they just stand there and smoke for that 20 minutes recess they have. And then they all go back into school.
I think almost anywhere, if you drive around past. Now,
exactly.
I never thought about this with middle schools, but I guess middle schools and high schools. Mm-hmm. If you look across the street or down the block off the campus, that's where the kids are congregating,
exactly.
Smoking. That's really frightening.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned about the rat poison, because there are over, most people don't know this, that there are over 4,000 chemicals in a cigarette smoke. Some of them are the rat poison, the cyanide, the arsenic. That's part of the cigarette smoke. There is nuclear elements like polonium-210. In it. So there is the cadmium, which is found in rechargeable batteries. There is acetic mouthballs. There is acetic acid, which is found in acetone. So there's all these chemicals. So people have to know, well, this is what you're taking into your body, basically, when you smoke a cigarette.
I love going to the movies. I really do. I enjoy them. I go once a week, at least, with my family. But I get really angry when I see these actors picking up cigars and smoking. There's no reason. It doesn't add anything to their characters. And cigars are very harmful. One cigar is the same as between about 5 to 10 cigarettes. It's not a safe product at all.
And people have these cigar bars and these places where adults
terrible.
Go to congregate.
Yeah, they have no idea what they're doing. They think it's safe, but it's not safe. It's worse than a cigarette. It really is.
Dr. Ahadpour, what characteristics might put some kids at greater risk of becoming smokers than other kids?
Research has found that adolescents with lower levels of school achievement are more likely than their peers to use tobacco. Also, adolescents of parents who smoke are more likely to become smokers also. Smoke-free homes, smoke-free workplaces are associated with lower rates of adolescent smoking. The CDC has found that some adolescents smoke because they believe it will be accepted by peers, or that they can appear mature, or they can cope with stress. Stress is a big thing. And a lot of students say because of stress, they picked up the habit of smoking cigarettes.
Doesn't smoking cause anxiety?
Actually can work both ways. It calms you down, but at the same time, it increases your heart rate. It increases your blood pressure. So your body is going into an anxious state, even though your mind thinks it has calmed down.
Actually, the cigarette smoking or the nicotine in it is the only product on the market that, as Mitra said, is a stimulant and a sedative at the same time. the only drug on the market. Many people also become diabetic because it actually increases your sugar level. So many parents who might have diabetic children, warning sign, it does increase your sugar level.
Dr. Doran, how significant is peer pressure? Can peers actually be helpful in stopping or preventing other peers from smoking?
That's a great question, because in part of our program, we're helping along anti-smoking clubs after school, and we're encouraging teenagers to go and talk to other kids that are either at a lower grade or higher grade and teach them that smoking is not great, they don't do it, and there's no reason why somebody else their age should pick it up. So we really do encourage other teenagers to go out and talk about their anti-tobacco message, because kids talk better to kids than adults do to kids. So I think having the children involved in these programs is very effective, is extremely effective.
Do you find that boys are more effective in doing this than girls, or it's just boys with boys and girls with girls? Or
more boys use chewing tobacco and dip. So if they hear it from another male, it's more effective than hearing it from another female. With smoking, unfortunately, we're seeing the girls catch up with the boys. One is to, they want to keep their weight down, and which is also another myth. A lot of people think by, you know, stopping smoking, they gain a lot of weight. The average weight gain done through a lot of surveys has been between 5 to 6 pounds, and that's it. Ex-teenage smokers are the best role model.
The only thing I would wonder is if you've got ex-smokers, would kids say, well, they smoked and they could stop, so I can smoke and I can stop when I want to?
Well, we'd like to train the kids that have been ex-smokers to explain to the children who are non-smokers how difficult it was for them to quit. And since we've talked to these children, it has been very difficult. They have gone through a lot of programs, they've tried to quit. It's been difficult. It's not an easy thing to quit for these kids. It really isn't. It's an addiction, basically, what it comes down to it.
Does that come through when they're talking to the kids?
I think it does. It really does. Big teenagers love to hear things from other kids, so it really does help. I think we're there to teach them first, and then we teach the teenagers to go out and help the other kids.
Dr. Hadpour, how can schools help with these issues?
Schools can help in many, many ways. And I'm glad you asked that question. There should be educational programs for students about the harmful effects of tobacco. And that shouldn't just cover cigarettes, but also dip, chewing tobacco, BDs, and cigars. In our experience, having health professionals being involved in the educational program, I think is very helpful, because on a daily basis, the students see their teachers and it's like the same lecture. But when they have a health professional, that their doctors, they listen more to what you're saying. And what we've noticed after we give our presentation, many of them come and ask us medical questions privately that they would never have asked their teacher. So this is a very important aspect. And also, there should be programs in schools to help students handle peer pressure and coping with stress, because stress is a big thing, so we need to help students on that. There should be educational programs for parents and staff of schools. You see the principal smoking, that's the role model for them. They say, okay, then smoking is okay if the principal is smoking. So there should be programs both for the parents and for the staff members in the schools. Also, there should be a uniform enforcement in all schools of the no smoking policy. That's very important that all schools have the same policy. And lastly, students should have access to cessation programs, that the students that have picked up cigarette smoking or any tobacco use, instead of being punished when they're caught smoking, they should have the chance to go to a cessation program to help them quit smoking.
Such as
there is wonderful cessation programs out there. We have both been trained by the American Lung Association as cessation facilitators. We went through a day of training, even though in medical school and dental school, they have touched on how to talk to patients and give them nicotine replacement therapy. We hadn't learned how to do counseling. So it was a good program that taught us how to talk to patients about it. So American Lung Association has a wonderful program, and they're doing a few pilot programs in different schools on cessation.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion about kids and tobacco.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Dr. Shirin Doran and Dr. Mitra Ahadpour about kids and tobacco. At this point, we'd really like to ask you to describe your particular program, Doctors Against Tobacco.
We are both doctors. Shirin is a dentist. I'm a physician. The first part of the program, I talk about the harmful effects of tobacco, and I talk about BDs and cigarette smoking, and show them a healthy lung and a smoker's lung. And these are real human lungs, which we're very fortunate that the Anatomy Board of Maryland was very nice to give it, to lend it to us, so we could show students. And students are mesmerized. My God, this is what my lungs would look like if I smoke. I say, it's not just what your lungs would look like, but what your whole inside of the body with the tar, which is black, that sticks all over the organs of the body. That's what it looks like. So they get very impressed about that.
I talk about the health, the side effects on the mouth. And I show very gruesome pictures of what the mouth would look like if you have oral cancer. After that, I have models of the mouth and, you know, what decay looks like if you smoke, because people who smoke actually get more cavities than non-smokers. And then I touch upon the media and how the media tries to trick them into buying tobacco products. And we show them different slides of, you know, how women look. You know, they try to show the women looking sexy and the guys looking very handsome and all that stuff. And we really touch upon that. And then we show them a video of how other products can cause side effects. And one of the highlights of our program is actually we have somebody who has had a laryngectomy. Laryngectomy is somebody who's lost his voice box. And he comes in and he has like a machine that he puts on his larynx that's missing, and he talks like a robot. So his voice sounds like a robot, and he has a hole in his throat. And he talks through this hole. He mesmerizes these kids, and he talks about how smoking actually made him lose his voice box. And kids come up and look at the hole, and, you know, he shows them what happens to him when he takes, for example, a shower. He cannot just stand in the shower. He has to cover it up, because if the water goes down this hole, he can drown.
So this is a program that you take into different schools.
Exactly. We do for the sixth graders. And last time we had seventh and eighth graders who came, even stood in line. They wanted to get into the classroom because they had heard about the program. And the teacher had to turn away some of them because there wasn't enough space in the classroom. So we're getting a very good response.
Parents, obviously, and teachers who are listening to this are probably hopping up and down wondering how they can get in touch with you or get in touch with whatever resources there are to start something similar in their own communities. Do you have any help for them?
Yes, we do. There is the website. Our website is www.doctorsagainsttobacco.com. Another wonderful website is www.smokefreemaryland.org. There is a wonderful organization in Montgomery County, which is run by Doug Tipperman, director of Montgomery County Smoke Free Coalition, 301-929-8500. The CDC, you can call 770-488-5705.
And that's the CDC,
which is the CDC, this Office of Smoking and Health. which have wonderful brochures. And there is also the www.tobaccofreekids.org, www.tobaccofreekids.org. And also American Lung Association, American Cancer Society, National Cancer Institute. They have wonderful brochures, especially this brochure, which I really like. It's called Chew or Snuff is Real Bad Stuff. And their number is 1-800-4-CANCER, C-A-N-C-E-R. And there are wonderful programs out there that we recommend both for schools. And last thing I wanted to quickly mention is a program called TNT, Towards No Tobacco Use. And this talks about the harmful effects of tobacco, but at the same time, it teaches children about self-esteem, assertiveness, and how to say no in various ways to tobacco.
That's a lot of information, but there are going to be a lot of people very happy to hear this. So thank you very much, Dr. Ahadpour and Dr. Doran. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, we really appreciate for you to give us this opportunity to talk about this subject. Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And tell us what station you're listening to now that we're airing all over the world. It's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about us and our book Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.